Right, so the title of my sermon today is Christ the Living Stone. It's taken from 1 Peter chapter 2 verses 4 to 8. All right, the slide is already open there. All right, so before we actually move on, if you have a Bible with you, I would like to encourage you to open your Bible up right now to 1 Peter chapter 2 verses 4 to 8. All right, there are a few things here that I would like to clarify us before we go into the Word of God. Okay, because apparently when we look at this passage, there are terms like cornerstone, and in certain version of the scripture, we have the word capstone. And of course, we also have the word spiritual sacrifices. So before we even look at the passage today, let me help you by clarifying some of these terms. Okay, and while the computer is restarting, as we look at the church building today, just look around. Right, you look your left, you look at the right, you notice that it is built brick by brick, or sometimes it's just a whole slab of cement. Alright, so if you look at this, I think this is a very good example. Alright, so as we look at this wall here, you notice that the wall is made up of bricks, bit by bit, and together they form this portion of the wall. And Peter, in this passage, is using architecture, alright, or a building, to actually talk about and to let us understand the role of Christ in the church context. All right? So obviously, today it is very different because we seldom have the cornerstone or the capstone. Our building is the whole slab, you know, you notice that it's totally different from those days. And actually, I have a photo for you to actually help you to see what does it mean by a cornerstone. What is the difference between a cornerstone and, yes, thank God for it, the next slide. Okay, can I control now? Let me just check out. All right, thank you. So this is the cornerstone. It is the foundation. It is supposed to be the first foundation that a building was built upon. And of course, if we look at our church building today, we do not know where is the cornerstone. But in the olden days, cornerstone looked something like this. It is the biggest, usually the first stone that was put in foundation, and every other stone is laid according to this cornerstone. It is like the base, it is like the foundation, it is like the standard. All right, so when the cornerstone is there, you arrange your tiles, your bricks, bit by bit, one by one, according to the cornerstone. On the other hand, capstone is the last stone. All right, things break down without the capstone. Can you identify the capstone? Which one is the capstone in this picture? Was it the middle one or the one on top of the middle one? Which one do you think? Just shout it out. Okay, it is the one above the middle one. Okay, because that is the last stone that is placed to complete the structure. Alright, so Peter is describing Jesus Christ as the living stone, both as a cornerstone and as a capstone. Now, what does this mean? Jesus Christ is the foundation of the church. He is the beginning. He is the end. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He should be in the church. He should be the foundation of our church. So as we look at our church today, now when I say church here, it's not referring to the physical building. It's not talking about, you know, the place that we stand, you know, the building, the wall, the mezzanine floor, you know, all the equipments inside. When I talk about church this morning, it is about you, it is about me together. So as we look at the church today, Desa Park City, Kuala Lumpur Baptist Church, Desa Park City. Do we see a church that is complete with four walls, with doors, with windows, or do we have certain bricks missing around? And where are these bricks today? Where are these living stones today? Now, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 to 16. This is Paul. So Peter talks about building, agriculture, bricks, you know, foundation. Paul talks about a body. It talks about the same thing. It talks about community. And in verse 15, instead speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every aspect the mature body of Jesus Christ, who is the head, that is Christ. And from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, and as each part does its work. Now, very often when we look at the church, we may look at it as this, you know, everybody has to be same. If you look at this wall here, wow, the bricks is identical. The bricks is the same. So sometimes when we think of the church, the spiritual church in this way, brothers and sisters, we are making a mistake. When we think of a spiritual church in this manner where everybody has to be same, we are making a mistake. We will be saying something like, I'm not like Pastor Caleb, I can teach, I can preach. I'm not like Brother John Yim, you know, Pastor Joseph, who can stand up here and lead the worship. I'm not tech savvy like the brothers and sisters at the back at the AV crew. I'm nobody, God. We have to understand that you and I, we are created uniquely, special, each with its gifts and talents. And together, we are to build this church up. And of course, when we talk about building, one brick is not a building. Okay, Pastor Caleb cannot be the church. It emphasizes community. Together, we are going to build the walls of this church. We are going to build up this church. And one body part is useless without the other. And very often, it is very easy for us to forget our interdependence with other Christians. And when God calls us to a task, remember, we are not alone. God calls us to be a team, and together, our individual efforts will be multiplied as we serve God together in a church as a team. Together, we become integral parts in God's building of a spiritual house. So look at this picture. We are part and parcel of this spiritual house of God. We are part and parcel. And for that to happen, we must continue to grow together, not as an individual. And that is why it is very important for us to understand the need to be the church of God. And as COVID pandemic all comes about, we notice that, you know, people have been so comfortable at home that they can worship God, they can be church, they can play church at home. There's no need for me to come back, Pastor. You know, I have access, you know, TV 1, TV 2, TV 3, TV 4. If I don't like this preacher, I can turn to the USA, to the Australian channel, to the UK channel, whichever channel that's available on YouTube. For some of us, we have been playing church in that manner. We are not part of the community. We just want to worship God my way, my time, my comfort. So brothers and sisters, let us come to the word today as we talk about spiritual sacrifices, Christ, the living stone. God wants us to be obedient rather than to serve him without a purpose and without the right intention. And of course, we have very quickly three Old Testament passage. One more serious than the other. Okay, let me read to you 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. This is when God actually burns his wrath. He's angry with the people because they are worshiping him, they are serving him, they are offering sacrifices that is not worthy of God. So 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. Does the Lord delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. Psalm 40, verse 6. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. This is what David said. But my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. So we have to understand that God hopes that we can grow together as a church. Not so much of offering what we can, But first of all, obedience. This one is the most serious one that I can find. Amos chapter 5, verses 21 to 24. This is what God is saying to the prophet Amos. I hate, I despise your religious festivals. Your assemblies are a stench to me. Even though you bring me burnt offering and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs, I will not listen to the music of your harps. But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never failing stream. So as we look at our lives today, as we offer our so-called spiritual offering to God this morning, it is, or is it, worthy of God? Under what intention are we here this morning? Brothers and sisters, when we talk about Christ the living stone, we have to make a choice. Because each person needs to accept or reject this living stone. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 8. So let us go through these this passage. 3 points only. 3 very simple points. So once we understand certain terms that I've shared just now, hopefully it will be easier for us to understand this passage today. So 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 8. As you come to him, the living stone, Jesus Christ, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. In verse 6, for in scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And in verse 8, a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. So very quickly, 3 points. First of all, in verse 4, we see that the passage, Peter declared that Jesus Christ is the living stone. There are 3 significant things about the living cornerstone, living capstone, living foundation. It is the first stone laid. Jesus Christ, the author of our eternal salvation. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Jesus Christ is the foundation of our salvation. He is the beginning, he is the end of time. He is why we are here today. Is there any reason you are here this morning apart from worshiping this author of eternal salvation? Secondly, Christ the living stone is the foundation stone, and all other stones are placed upon it and held up by it. We can talk about evangelism, we can talk about our membership, we can talk about worship, spiritual gifts, salvation, Bible, baptism, assurance, eternal life. But all this is based on Jesus Christ as the foundation. Is this the reason why we are here this morning? To acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the foundation of our faith. And thirdly, Christ the living stone is a stone to which men must come if they are to become a part of God's building. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 19. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription. The Lord knows those who are his. And everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. So if we say that we belong to God, if we say that we are a child of God, if we claim that we are here because we want to worship God, first of all, we have to acknowledge that we must come to Jesus Christ himself. Second, the value of Christ as a living stone for believers. I believe most of us here, we are believers. This can be found in verses 5 and 6. The value of Christ. After we have established that Jesus Christ is the foundation of this church, is the foundation of our faith, is the foundation of all that we believe in. Secondly, what does it mean to you and me? The value of Christ as a living stone for believers today. He is a precious cornerstone. He is the foundational stone. Isaiah chapter 28 verse 16. So this is what the sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. And as we rely upon this sure foundation, the one who relies on it will never be stricken with panic. Pandemic, endemic, financial recession, whatever difficulties, challenges, ups and downs in our life, we will never be stricken with panic if we acknowledge and understand that Jesus Christ is the foundation of our faith. Nothing can shake this foundation apart unless we choose to let something shake it on our behalf. How sure is our faith today? When we turn to God, when we lay our lives upon the foundational stone of Jesus Christ, we have to remember that we are part of God's spiritual house. And all living stones are needed in God's house. This is more likely the wall of the church today. You'll notice that it is of different shape. It is of different color. But definitely you will see that there is a resemblance that it is at least rectangular. It could be longer, it could be shorter. But there is a mold to be Christ-like. God has given us Jesus Christ as an example, the living stone. And we should imitate this living stone, and we are called to be living stones, to be at least rectangular in shape. We may look a little bit different, we may have different color, we may have different size, but we are called to be Christ-like. That is like the basic stuff that we have to understand. All living stones are needed in God's house. And as living stones ourselves to imitate who God is, we are not to weaken the building to any degree. If you notice, churches crumble usually from within. Churches crumble usually from within. Do not let each other weaken the building to a certain degree. We are fighting a war. Let us not fight among ourselves. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, and we are going to spend all of eternity together. If there's anything that you want to say to each other, if there's anything that you want to reconcile with one another, I suggest that you do it now. Or else, you know, when we spend our life for all eternity in heaven, you see that person coming, you run to the other end of the world. That should not be how it is. And of course, when we have Jesus Christ as the living stone for believers in us, we are called to be the holy priesthood. We have the Holy Spirit. We have this identity in us where all believers are priests. Every Christian believer has immediate, direct access to God through Jesus Christ, and we are to serve God personally. Now, I'll be talking about this in a more elaborative manner in the next sermon. All right? So for now, we have to understand that we are called to be holy priests of God. And because we are the holy priests of God, we are to offer spiritual sacrifices to God. Now, in the Old Testament, we see that there are a lot of offerings, burnt offerings, you know, all these offerings for different purposes. And the spiritual sacrifices that is acceptable to God in the Old Testament includes prayer. It includes thanksgiving. It includes praise. It includes repentance. Now, what is it so different from the New Testament time? The age of church today. Now, in the New Testament time, I've listed a few for us to look at in a while. It is the offering of our bodies to God for His service. It's the offering of our financial gifts, and it is also practical and loving service to the people around us. So this is the gist of the sermon today. As believer, what is our value? What is our value? And what should we offer to God? I have four things that we can take note. First of all, to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice to God. Romans chapter 12 verses 1 to 2. To offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, and this is your true and proper worship. To offer up yourselves to God. Verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, when we say we are to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice to God, what does it mean? Now, Sunday is a very interesting day. For non-believers, it is a time of rest because they can wake up whenever they want. There's nobody to, you know, make sure that they can, they need to wake up early. They can sleep until 10, 11, go out for lunch, you know, at a meat rally perhaps. But for believers, it is something that is a bit different because, especially on Sunday, some of us still need to work, serve God. Yeah, I have to come up early, you know. I have to come here early so that I can set up the sound system. You know, we can practice. And I even have to sacrifice my day on Saturday from 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock to come to church and practice for the worship. I have to make that extra trip to church. What happened to all my time, God? When we say that we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice to God, it is saying that, God, I am willing. God, I am willing. Because I love you, I want to serve you. Because I want to serve you, I want to sacrifice my comfort. I want to sacrifice and offer up my comfort, my time, my talents, my gifts for you. And that is a way where we can offer our bodies as a living sacrifice to God. Think about it. Are we part of any ministry? Are we building up this spiritual church of God today? Or are we here as a spectator on Sunday only? Are we building up the church of God? And secondly, to offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Now, this is a bit challenging. I believe it's for Chinese or for Asians. I cannot say Asians. Indonesian, they worship God very openly. Filipinos, yes. The Vietnamese, the Cambodians, all right. They worship God in such a manner that I am so envious of them. Because they can just open up their hearts. They can sing praises to God just like that. Now, for Chinese, I have to say Chinese. Lah. I'm Chinese. When we say to offer the sacrifice of God continually, Hebrews here is saying to us in chapter 13, verse 15, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess His name. We are talking about worshiping God through singing songs. We are talking about worshiping God through sharing of testimony of how God has blessed my life, how God has been with me in my ups, in my downs. Chinese are very shy people. We don't really talk about, you know, my ups, my downs. We don't talk about our challenges. We like to appear to each other saying that, you know, I'm okay. How are you? I'm okay. How are you? I'm okay. And for some of us, it is hard for us to worship God, especially during the worship singing time. Sing praises to God. We notice that there are people who, you know, stand and then they look sideways a bit. And then look, oh, yeah, just zao yam. We are very, very self-conscious. Brothers and sisters, let me challenge you. When we sing song of worship, when we sing song of praise to God, let go and let God. It is not easy. Sometimes, you know, we have to hold on to the chair in front of me. you know, fearing that I will fall and stuff like that. Sometimes we just have to let go and let God. We are going to spend eternity praising God in heaven. Why not start now, practice now, so that when we step into heaven in the future, it will not be like, uh-oh, what are they doing? Okay? There are many, many songs that we will not be familiar with, I assure you. Because multitudes of people will be there praising the same God. They will be singing in different languages, different tongues, different style of worship, and I suggest that we today start to offer our sacrifice of God today. Learn to be with God. Learn to appreciate God in such a way that we bring the sacrifice of praise. So most of us who are a bit more elderly in our faith, we know of this song. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We sing sacrifice of praise to the Lord. And we offer you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy. When we speak of God's testimony in our life, we are bringing and we are upholding and we are offering up our sacrifices of thanksgiving, of joy, and of praise to God. So, as a Chinese, I would like to encourage you, open your mouth. Share how God has been a blessing, how God has been protecting, how God has been providing in your life. Now, the third one, to offer the sacrifices of good works, gifts, and money. This one, I think, no problem. Very straightforward. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 18, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. And I believe for urban churches, this is something that we excel in. Because we understand that God has been providing us with much that we are willing to give and bless others. So for urban churches, this usually shouldn't be a problem. All right? So let me go on to the last one. To offer the fruit of the Spirit as a spiritual sacrifice. And we know from Galatians chapter 5, verses 22, 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things, there is no law. We are to offer up our well-being to bless others, to be the best version that we can be with the Spirit in us, so that ultimately God will be glorified. As we build each other up in love, in patience, you'll be surprised how this church will turn up to be. If we encourage one another with patience, kindness, goodness, and we serve God faithfully, you will be surprised at how Kuala Lumpur Desapak City will turn out to be a blessing to even more people. But of course, when we talk about understanding God and, you know, be the version that God wants us to be, there are people who have yet to receive Him. There are yet people who have yet to receive Him. So in John chapter 1, verse 12, I would like to encourage you, especially for those who are still considering. Yet to all who did receive Him, to those who believe in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. So for most of us here, I believe we have accepted His gift of salvation. We are called to be the children of God. We are the living stones of this spiritual house of God. There is no sin that is too great for the grace of Jesus Christ to encounter and to conquer. So for some of us here, if you are not sure what I am talking about, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you enough to, you know, die on the cross. That is how much a God, the God, loves us. And for some of us, they are stumbling blocks that God has placed in us. John chapter 3, verses 15 to 17, very famous verse, a familiar one for most of us, especially when you are a believer. Everyone who believes may have eternal life, in Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Jesus Christ, him. Some of us here may think that, you know, I've done so much wrong in the past. It is impossible for this God, whoever he is, to accept me as I am, to receive me as I am. I want to say to this group of brothers and sisters, come back. It's not too late. You are never too far. You are never too far from God. But just as the scriptures say, some of us, we belong to this third group, where the liability of Christ as the living stone for unbelievers. They rejected Christ to choose other stones as foundation. Christ does not fit in their plans. Christ does not suit what they are building. Christ is not worth the price. All they are and all they have. Now, when we choose to believe Christ, we give up all we have, all we are. And for some of us, it is very, very, very hard to let go and give up. Therefore, some of us may have Jesus Christ as the stumbling block. In Isaiah chapter 8, verse 14, he will be a holy place. For both Israel and Judah, he will be a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. And for the people of Jerusalem, he will be a trap and a snare. For some of us, when we choose to think that, you know, we do not need God, I can do everything by myself, or perhaps there are some disbelief about Jesus Christ that appears to be a stumbling block for us to actually believe. How can we just believe and receive all this? What are some of the disbelief about Jesus Christ today? How could Christ be anything other than a man just like the rest of us? What is so special about Jesus Christ? How could Christ be born of a virgin, God incarnate in human flesh? Scientifically, it is impossible. How could Christ live a sinless life without committing a single sin? Sure not, Pastor. There's nobody here that, you know, didn't do anything wrong. So how can this Jesus Christ be an exception? How could Christ's death be any more than the death of a martyr who died for a great cause? What is so different about the death of Jesus Christ? And for some of us, how could Christ's resurrection be anything but a tall tale made up by his followers to secure more followers? So these are some of the very interesting disbelief that maybe appeared to some of us to be the stumbling block. And of course, we have many, many, many more disbelief. And it will be quite impossible for me to actually list them all out. So we have to ask ourselves, is there anyone around us with challenges, especially when we talk about who Jesus Christ is? Are we, as the living stones of God, preparing an answer for this group of people who are lost? Are we well-versed enough in the Word of God so that we can help this group of people? John 12:37. Even after Jesus had performed so many signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. Some of us, we may say that, Jesus, you come here. You appear to me right now. You do something. I believe you. In the gospel book, we know that it doesn't work. The people were having the privilege of seeing Jesus Christ in action, and yet some of them still would not believe in him. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to end here. is there a certain thing in our lives that we need to reflect upon ourselves when we talk about Christ, the living stone? Are we treating Him as He deserves? Why are we here in this church this morning? Why are we here in this church, that church, whichever church this morning? The value of Christ as believers, He is a precious cornerstone. He has called us to be holy priests of God. And for us to be the living stones of this church, we are to offer spiritual sacrifices to God as a response to His love and to love the people around us. So how can we value Christ today as fellow believers? Let us pray. Father in heaven, we know, we understand intellectually, we understand the knowledge of the scripture that says that Jesus Christ is the foundation, is the cornerstone, is the capstone, is the foundation of our faith. But Lord, at times we find it really, really hard to actually let this sink it in our life and let us live it out in our life. We pray, Lord, that you forgive us. For in times of our weakness, Lord, we have chosen to disobey you, taking you for granted. And we pray that, Lord, you help us now that we understand that we are called to be the living stones, just like Jesus Christ, putting our foundation in Him alone, and that, Lord, we are to build each other up, to build the spiritual house of God, Kuala Lumpur Baptist Church, Desa Park City. Lord, as we look at this church, Lord, we pray that you will help us to identify our role that we can play in this church. Whether it's to be one part of the wall, whether it's to be one part of the door, whether it's to be part of the ministry of the ushering, as an of the worship team, of the PA team, of the Sunday school teacher, or Lord, as an usher, or a parking attendant, Lord. Whichever area that requires our service, Lord, we pray that you help us to see the needs of this spiritual church of yours. We pray that, Lord, you will help us to offer up our lives as a living sacrifice, putting aside our comfort and convenience to serve you because, Lord, we love you. And, Lord, we love your people. And, Lord, we ask that you help us to reconcile with one another if there is a need. As we serve together, as we love one another, Lord, we pray that you help us to make right our relationship with you and with the brothers and sisters in this church, Lord. And Lord, we want to thank you for all those who have been faithfully serving. We want to thank you that you have imparted in our hearts the love for you and the love for the people around us. And we pray that, Lord, you will continue to strengthen us, to give us wisdom, especially as we relate to one another, especially in how do we love your people, just as you have loved us. So help us, oh Lord, as we live out this in our life, this coming week, in our workplace, in our respective areas, Lord. We pray that you will continue to be with us. You will convict us the need to love the people around us. And we thank you for your love. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your word this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, we uphold, give thanks and pray. Amen.